Because when you make the decision to have this intentional attitude of love that really hits the mark with your spouse, you're creating stability for the entire home.
Yeah, and with your kids as well, regardless Absolutely. Of how your kids are acting. If you're continually filling their emotional tanks,
yeah.
it's going to impact their behavior.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Blended Family Coaching Show, where you'll discover how to move your stepfamily from just surviving to truly thriving.
Grab your headphones and listen in as we share practical, real-life strategies for building healthy bonds.
Understanding the kids' perspective.
Romance and partnership.
Parenting with great teamwork.
And yes, even co-parenting with a difficult ex.
We're Mike and Kim Anderson, and we believe with the right tools, every step couple can overcome the common challenges of stepfamily life.
Join us for authentic and sometimes comical conversations to discover how you can lead your family with confidence and create the future you really want.
Well, hey, welcome everybody. We are so glad that you're here joining us this week.
Yes.
Hey, I've got a challenge for you. At the time of this recording, we're at about 82 ratings and reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Now, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you haven't left a rating or a review, we would love within the next couple of weeks to push that number up over 100.
Yes.
And if we can keep growing that, that's going to help make our podcast visible to other people who need the content that we're sharing. Mm-hmm. And so if you would help us, we would absolutely appreciate it. You can just leave a rating, click the star rating that you think best fits us. Or if you have a couple extra minutes, leave us a review, give us some feedback, and let us know how you think we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to dive into today's episode, but you know what? Last week, we got to have stepfamily expert Ron Deal as a guest on the show, and it was so exciting to be able to talk about that book that he and Gary Chapman co-authored called Building Love Together in Blended Families. Now, if you missed that episode, you're definitely going to want to go check it out. It's episode 85, and it was really a great discussion around the five love languages and becoming stepfamily smart.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, Ron is an amazing advocate for the success of blended families, and he's probably contributed more to supporting blended families than anyone else that we know of. And he shared with us that he really gets great joy in seeing blended families bloom.
I love that, bloom.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate him so much, and we've really enjoyed this book as well. We recommend it to anyone living in a blended family dynamic and who really has the desire to experience a close, connected, and loving family.
Absolutely. And, you know, we got to talking about it, and we thought it would be helpful to continue our focus on the five love languages in this episode. Unfortunately, this time without Ron's input.
I know.
Yeah, you just get us. But, you know, for years, we've been encouraging step couples to use the five love languages as a tool in creating more connection, because we know it can be very effective and impactful in building loving bonds. And when we read Gary and Ron's book, we realized just how unique the content is and how many relevant bonding and love issues they cover in such a short and easy read. It's pretty amazing. And you know, it's not just a book about the five love languages. It's a book that can help every blended family to create meaningful, loving connections in just about every circumstance. Now, of course, in the book, they go into great detail around the things that we talked about last week in the episode with Ron, things like understanding the unique dialects of each love language and the different levels of intimacy we should consider when we're speaking them. Plus, we discovered why you want to avoid unintentionally stepping on a family member's love language. These enlightening aspects are so important within the blended family dynamics.
Sure.
Gary and Ron offer lots of encouragement and practical tips and tools in the book, such as what to do when loves compete and conflict, and how to build love together in marriage, in step-parenting, in step-sibling relationships, in grandparenting, and building love together in the face of rejection. It's so good and full of insights.
For sure.
So in today's conversation, we wanted to highlight a couple of additional aspects of the five love languages that we've discovered to be so important in our journey, to give you even more awareness around how this simple tool, these five specific ways of expressing and receiving love, can bring value to your family in developing close, loving relationships, even in the challenges of blending.
Yeah, you know, this is a topic that we cover in our course called Step Families That Work. And we talk about the importance of using the five love languages, both in our marital relationship and also with our kids and stepkids. Yeah. So let's kick off our conversation today by exploring why the five love languages are so effective when used with children, and how you can actually use this tool in the midst of busy family life. You know, Gary Chapman's written a number of books in the Five Love Language Library, including The Five Love Languages of Children and The Five Love Languages of Teenagers. Gary says nothing works well if a child's love needs are not met. Only the child who feels genuinely loved and cared for can thrive and make healthy adjustments through life.
Wow.
Now, I would add to this thought that it's crucial for those of us raising kids in the complex dynamics of stepfamily life. Oftentimes, the complex relationships that are just a reality in our blended family journey work against us when it comes to helping the kids feel loved. And, you know, Gary suggests that it's probably true that you love your child, and we would say stepchild as well.
Sure.
But unless that child feels love, unless you can effectively speak the love language that communicates love to them, they may struggle to actually experience being loved.
Yeah, that's so important.
Really important,
understand.
Yeah.
Now, Gary's premise is that every child has an emotional tank. And it's really a place of emotional strength that can fuel them through the challenging days of childhood and adolescence. And by speaking your child's primary love language, you can fill his or her emotional tank with love. So when your child feels love, he is much easier to connect with and to discipline than when his emotional tank is running low. Think about that.
Yep.
It just makes things easier. And the reality is that every child has a unique way of perceiving and receiving love. So there are five ways children, and all of us really, speak and understand emotional love. And Ron did a great job summarizing those for us last week. They are words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, and quality time.
Yeah, good. So, honey, is it okay if I ask you a question that I already know the answer to for the benefit of our listeners?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
So have you ever done something for one of our kids? Maybe you put a lot of time and energy into it, even maybe a lot of money, to do something special for that child, only to be disappointed by their reaction to your big gesture?
Of course, yes. You
know, I told you I already knew the answer.
Yeah, there have been times when, you know, I tried to do something that I thought would be really impactful and make a big difference for them, but then I ended up being a bit confused when they didn't seem to appreciate it that much. And I even remember sometimes my feelings being hurt a little bit. You know?
Sure. So would you agree that this could simply be because you weren't actually speaking that child's primary love language? Maybe you had a big gesture that was a really cool gift, but the child's love language happens to be something more like quality time. And the reality was that that gift just didn't make the heart connection that spending time hanging out together would have for that particular child.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, because gifts is one of my primary love languages, it's really easy for me to speak that particular one to my family. We tend to speak our own love languages to those around us.
Sure.
And, you know, I would give a gift and think that the child should be as excited about receiving that gift as I would be, because that's my language. But if that's not their primary love language, then I've got an unrealistic expectation. And what I really need is some insight around their love language. Speaking a child's primary love language as regularly as often as I can will make the biggest impact and fill their emotional tank most effectively using that primary love language. It's so important.
And in the end, it kind of saves you some disappointment, right? Where you put all that work into that gift and then they're like, eh, whatever.
Exactly.
That kind of hurts your feelings.
It does.
Yeah. Well, you know, some good news is that there are several simple ways to discover a child's love language. Mm-hmm. And you can observe how the child expresses love to you and to others. That might be a clue. You know, if they're really excited about picking out a special gift or making gifts for other family members or friends, that might be an indication that gifts could be one of their primary love languages. Mm-hmm. You could pay attention to what they most often request. If they're coming to you regularly, wanting a hug or asking to snuggle with you, maybe physical touch is one of their primary love languages. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look for clues that will identify which love language each of your children values most. And, you know, you want to take notes of your child's frequent complaints as well, because those can be clues. A child expressing something like, you're always so busy, or we never get to hang out anymore, they might actually be requesting quality time, not just voicing frustrations, right?
They're wanting to have that need met.
Yeah. So quality time could be the primary way that that child feels love. Mm-hmm. You might decide to simply play the love language mystery game with your younger kids. And that's in the book for love languages for children. Or in the five love languages for teenagers, Gary put in a love language personal profile, and you could ask your teen to complete it.
Yeah, and both of those are in the new book as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, figuring out each child's primary love language really isn't overly complicated, and it can even be a fun process. But a couple of things you need to keep in mind here. Don't be too quick to label a child's primary love language and then just stick to that one thing all the time. You know, as kids grow and develop, they might tend to receive a different love language than they might typically speak to others. So you've got to do a little bit of trial and error and testing, like we talked about last week with Ron.
Absolutely. So one of the things I really appreciate about the concept of love languages and understanding our kids' specific love language is that it can help to simplify parenting. Let's just be honest here. You know, parenting can be challenging and exhausting. It's difficult just to meet all of our kids' physical needs, right? Fixing meals and clothing them and making sure they brush their teeth and get to where they need to be every day. But it can feel really overwhelming when we think about making sure that our kids are getting the emotional support they need and that they're feeling loved and that they're bonding with us in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And of course, the more kids you have, the more stepkids you have, the more daunting parenting becomes.
Yeah, we know some families with a lot of kids.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I'm just speaking from my own experience here, but I'm sure that many of you can relate to sometimes feeling overwhelmed when it comes to parenting well and meeting all of your children's physical and their emotional needs.
Absolutely.
It's a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And now, as Ron pointed out last week, it's important to speak all five love languages to our kids. Mm-hmm. But what Kim's talking about here is if we can identify which are the primary one or two love languages for each child, then we're able to focus our time and energy more efficiently in those seasons when it's just exhausting.
Exactly.
It's all about making the most effective and meaningful impact with our limited parental resources, our time and our energy. In other words, we're kind of getting the biggest bang for our buck, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let me just share an example here. For our oldest, Annika, we've noticed that acts of service is one of her primary love languages.
Yeah.
So knowing this helps me to effectively focus my parental resources. And this is important for me because I have two other kids with a lot of needs as well and who have emotional tanks that need filling.
And a husband too.
Yes, exactly.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
That. So when Annika comes to me complaining about something such as a dress with straps that keep falling down off her shoulders. And this is a true story.
Yeah.
There's many things she comes to me with, but that happened to be one. You know, I can seize an opportunity to serve her. I have the ability to make an alteration and fix her dress for her. Now I know that my output of time and energy in altering her dress is going to make a big deposit in her emotional tank and make her feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know this, I'm happy to serve her, even if it means I have to make a personal sacrifice of some time and energy.
Yeah, sure. You know, I get the same response with Annika. I remember a while back, I did a really simple thing. I just changed the windshield wipers on her car. It wasn't that big a deal for me, right?
I remember that.
And when I did that, she responded like I was some kind of superhero or something, right?
Absolutely.
And that's happened lots of times in many different ways over the years. And every time she really appreciates me when I do these types of things for her, those things that are she's a bit unsure about or often really can't even do for herself.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, of course, we're always going to be on the lookout for opportunities to speak the other four love languages to Annika, mm-hmm. but we don't necessarily need to feel pressure or to feel guilt if we just don't have time or energy to, you know, initiate quality time on that particular day.
Right.
Because we're confident that her emotional tank has already been filled by our acts of service, mm-hmm. which we know speaks the clearest and loudest message of love to her.
Yeah, sure.
Now, discovering our children's primary love languages can change the way we parent. It really mm-hmm. can. And you know, at those times and in those moments when you sense that one of your kids or your stepkids is really struggling or feeling displaced or distant from you, mm-hmm. and you really want to express some emotional warmth and you want to reconnect with them, you will know exactly how to focus your love and make the biggest impact by speaking their primary love language. Mm-hmm. The value of discovering a child's primary love language is that it gives you the most effective means of communicating emotional love to them, a loving gesture you know they can easily receive and will make them feel loved.
Absolutely. It's great. Now, step parents, I want to highlight something for you here. It's just a reminder of the discussion that we had with Ron last week that going full bore into trying to speak high levels of a love language to a resistant stepchild mm-hmm. can really backfire. Yeah. You've got to understand the different dialects and the levels of intimacy in order to really do this well in a blended family dynamic. Mm-hmm. But if you can do it in the way that Gary and Ron describe in their book, then discovering your stepchild's primary love language can be very helpful as you set about intentionally bonding and building trust and connections with a new stepchild or one that you've been in their life for a long time.
Yeah.
And this can really help you find some fresh ways to show love and invest in your stepchildren. Mm-hmm. It's really worth it. So before you just dive in, go back to episode 85 if you haven't listened to it already, or pick up a copy of Gary and Ron's book. And of course, we'll link to both of those in the show notes for you.
Yeah, so important to understand how mm-hmm. all that works.
That's right.
All right, so let's switch gears and touch on a really interesting mm-hmm. aspect of the love languages in the context of marriage now.
Okay, so a hard shift.
A hard shift.
All right, here we go.
And specifically, we're going to talk about how this can impact the tough emotional realities of feeling like a trapped teammate mm-hmm. or a stranded stranger in your blended family. Mm-hmm. And we want to focus here because if you can gain just a little insight and some awareness around this, it's going to be so beneficial for your relationship as a couple.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, before we just dive into that, mm-hmm. if you're listening and you have no idea what the trapped teammate or stranded stranger dynamic is, then you're going to want to go back and listen to episodes 21 through 24, where we really do a deep dive on this and we offer some practical strategies to help you navigate this challenge that really every couple yeah. we've ever worked with has experienced to some level or another. Mm-hmm. But just to give a quick overview before we dive in, the trapped teammate is when the bio parent feels like they're like the rope in a tug of war between yes. their kids and their spouse. They're stuck on the inside with this impossible task of trying to make everyone happy, mm-hmm. but it just seems like they can't really make anyone happy. Yeah. Now, the stranded stranger is the step parent that feels like an outsider in their own family. Mm-hmm. They kind of feel like the third wheel. They're never quite able to connect in the way that they really want to. So if this concept is something that's brand new to you, we really want you to go back to those episodes and learn more. It's really helpful to understand what's going on and what you can do about mm-hmm. it. And understanding this made a huge difference in our marriage, and it will for yours as well. And we'll link to those episodes in the show notes. Yeah. And here's the thing. The five love languages can either increase or decrease the impact of this trapped teammate and stranded stranger dynamic whether you choose to use them or not. Yeah. It'll have an impact.
Yeah, that's why we want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a simple way that this has played out in our life, right? Sure. I mean, mm-hmm. we've definitely run into this. Now, one of your primary love languages, honey, is words of affirmation.
Yeah, say something really nice to me.
Oh, you're so handsome.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
So this is something that really makes you feel loved, yep. accepted, valued. Hearing words of affirmation really fills your love tank.
Totally, yep.
But let's say that maybe I'm unaware of this, or maybe I am aware and it's just challenging for me to speak words of affirmation to you regularly, which is actually true.
Yeah.
Yes, I do need to be intentional because it's not my love language. So sometimes I do forget.
Yep.
But let's say if for whatever reason you aren't regularly hearing words of affirmation from me, and your emotional tank is running low, right? You're probably feeling less loved, less appreciated, and less valued.
It's true.
By me.
Yeah, I start to run down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a painful and fragile place for a stranded stranger who might already be feeling stuck on the outside. It's just kind of rubbing salt in the wound here. Would you say that's the case for you, honey?
I'd say you're sharing this like we have some authority around this area, right? Absolutely. I mean, hearing words of affirmation really consistently, it helps me to feel more connected to you and not as lonely or kind of stuck on the outside of your relationship with Annika. You guys kind of have this little click thing going that I don't feel like I can get into all the time. But the more I experience this from you, the more connected I feel and less of a stranded stranger I experience.
It eases up.
So, of course, the opposite is true. Without those words of affirmation, I definitely feel less appreciated, less valued as your partner, and more disconnected and more stranded as a stranger in our family.
And that would be a natural reaction for any step-parent if they aren't feeling loved, regardless of which love language is their primary way of receiving love, right? Yep. It could apply to all five. If a step-parent's emotional tank isn't being filled, and they aren't receiving love in the way that matters most, those emotions of feeling like a stranded stranger will probably increase, most likely increase, and become more and more painful.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, continuing on with our example, let's take it a step further. Let's say that although I'm not filling your emotional tank with your primary love language of affirmation, I do seem to be able to give my daughter, Annika, plenty of affirmation. In other words, honey, you're hearing me speak to Annika and lavish her with words of affirmation on a daily basis. Great job, Annika. Wow, I appreciate how you cleaned your room. You're so creative with your artwork. You're such a beautiful person inside and out. I love you, etc., etc., etc. I freely give her affirmation and I'm able to do it quite often. How is that going to make you feel, honey? If already your emotional tank is running low, you're feeling like that stranded stranger stuck on the outside, and now I'm giving words of affirmation, your primary love language, to my daughter regularly.
Pretty crummy. Yeah. It's pretty crummy because the thing, especially now, like we know that my primary love language is words of affirmation. And guess what? It's not really Annika's primary love language. So you're giving all of those love language affirmations over to her. And I'm going, what am I, chopped liver? Like, what's the deal, right? I can jump to the conclusion that you're actually purposely withholding love from me.
Right.
And I start to build a story in my head that's probably not true, but it feels true in the moment.
Right.
And it makes me kind of press into that stranded stranger. And it just complicates that dynamic and it magnifies it.
Absolutely.
It makes it much more difficult.
Yeah. You know, the bottom line here is that when we're unaware of our spouse's primary love language or what they really need in order to feel secure and loved, and then on top of that, we're speaking love to our bio children.
That same language.
Yeah. We can unintentionally magnify our spouse's pain of being that stranded stranger stuck on the outside, which is a really painful place to be. And this can happen for our kids as well. If we're unaware of our child's primary love language and we aren't intentionally filling their emotional tanks, but they see us offering gestures of love to our spouse, their step-parent, this can create some painful emotions for them as well, such as insecurity and feeling disconnected from their parent. And, you know, the story in their head might be that, you know, mom or dad loves their new partner more than me.
Yeah. And that's already a story in a lot of kids' heads.
Yeah. This is why it's so important to understand how everyone's emotional tank gets filled so that we can avoid misunderstandings and love competitions in our home. And it really isn't as complicated as it sounds. We don't want you to overthink this. We really just want you to gain practical awareness around the five love languages.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So let's give another example, but this time let's talk about how we can use the love languages to try and decrease some painful emotions. Now, obviously, if Kim is speaking my love language to me consistently and filling my emotional tank, I'm not going to jump to those negative conclusions as easily or quickly, or experience those heightened feelings of being that stranded stranger, right? That's going to help dissipate some of that. But we can also use the love languages to ease the trapped teammate experience for our partner as well.
Sure.
So kind of reversing the roles here. You know, one of Kim's primary love languages is acts of service. You once told me that I've never been sexier than when I'm running the vacuum cleaner, right? That's because I'm serving you at that moment,
right?
You're
helping me out. I love it.
Yeah, it helps you to feel acknowledged and loved when I'm doing something that's going to take the workload off of you or help you in some way. Now, over the course of our 20-year marriage, especially in our early years, you've struggled with really feeling like that trapped teammate, like rope in the tug of war, right?
Absolutely.
And you tend to feel like it's your job to bring Annika and I together and somehow make sure that we're both happy all the time, right?
Right.
Even when Annika and I want different things and we're each putting pressure on you to do things our way.
Right. That's the rope.
You've felt that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, this is an unrealistic expectation, though, because no matter who you choose, someone's going to be unhappy or disappointed. So it's kind of, you're never going to win, right?
Felt like I was always letting someone down. And then I'd feel like I'd failed someone. And that would make me feel guilty. And it's a really painful place to be.
Sure.
And if we're being really honest here, honey.
Which I think we are.
Yes. When it was you who was feeling disappointed and when you didn't approve of my decision, sometimes you'd get really upset, right? Or kind of shut down and turn away from me, and that would really hurt.
I definitely wasn't speaking your love languages in those moments.
No.
I responded in ways that I certainly regret over the years.
We both have.
Yeah. So what you've just described really is being stuck. You're that trapped teammate. And I think, or I hope, I got better over the years of being a little bit more of a teammate with you and supporting you, even when things didn't go my way.
Yes, absolutely, you did.
But by speaking your primary love language at those times, when I could see that you were dealing with this trapped teammate struggle, if I could make a deposit in your emotional tank by simply doing an act of service for you, that would have really helped you to kind of ease your pain and your struggle. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, and you've learned to do that over the years to let me know that you love and support me and that we're going to be okay, even in those times of tension when I felt like I'd failed you by leaning into what Annika needed or wanted. By speaking my love language, doing even a small act of service at that moment.
Yeah.
That really helps me to feel so much better. I feel less trapped and more connected to you. And, you know, honey, I realize how hard this can be for you at those times because when I was feeling like a trapped teammate because I'd let you down, that, of course, is going to trigger your feelings of being a stranded stranger because here she goes again choosing Annika.
Yeah, off she goes. Yeah, totally right. And, you know, in those moments, it does take a certain amount of self-control and intentional effort to be able to pause and make a meaningful deposit in your partner's emotional tank with a gesture of love when you are experiencing your own emotional pain.
Yeah.
Right? One expert, Patricia Paper, now says pain trumps empathy. Like, I don't want to have empathy when I'm feeling like a stranded stranger.
Right.
Right? What I want to do is inflict more pain because misery loves company.
But if I've been making deposits into your love tank, then you may not be feeling that high level of pain in that moment.
Exactly. And this really brings us down to what we were talking with Ron about last week, about this whole concept of the five love languages. It's not about, you need to be loving me more so I feel less like a stranded stranger. It's really about an act of service.
It is.
How can I use that to serve you? At the heart of the five love languages is our willingness to put ourselves aside and choose to love each other well, mm-hmm. regardless of how we might be feeling mm-hmm. in the moment. It's about being intentional and learning how to communicate love in a meaningful way to our partner, to our spouse. Yeah. And really, just making that shift can make a huge difference for the whole family. Because when you make the decision to have this intentional attitude of love that really hits the mark with your spouse, you're creating stability for the entire home.
Yeah, and with your kids as well, regardless Absolutely. Of how your kids are acting. If you're continually filling their emotional tanks, it's going to impact their behavior.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, when you regularly use all of the five love languages and especially discover each of your family members' primary love language, you can use this tool as an effective and efficient way to make sure that everyone is feeling and receiving love from you and that we all have a full emotional tanks. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Yay. We want that, right? Okay, so let's get really practical. As we're wrapping up this episode, we want you to decide on how you're going to take a next step in using the love languages to help you build love in your blended family. Mm. Maybe you'll get Gary and Ron's book, Building Love Together in Blended Families. Mm-hmm. Just click the link in the show notes and you can go grab that. Or you might decide to do a little bit of that trial and error work and just choose one way that you're going to intentionally speak love to your spouse this week and observe how they respond to that, right? Or you could do the same thing with one of your kids or stepkids. And here's the thing. If they don't respond positively, don't get offended or give up right out of the gate. No. Just chalk it up to learning and say, well, that didn't work. What should I try next?
Exactly.
Right? And then keep moving forward.
Yes. You don't want to give up too soon. Mm. And keep in mind that there is so much to learn around this.
Yeah.
Just start with this understanding. Regularly discovering ways to fill your kids' and stepkids' emotional tanks by speaking their primary love language can actually help to simplify parenting, mm-hmm. And make things much better for you and all the kids. Mm-hmm. Just understanding that. And within your marriage, you can avoid magnifying the trapped teammate, stranded stranger dynamic by understanding and expressing your spouse's primary love language.
Yeah.
And be mindful in how you speak love, both to your partner and to the kids. You know, all of this really is a game changer.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a game changer for us. Well, we hope that that brought you value. Yes. And again, we just want to thank Ron Deal and Gary Chapman for such a great book and for the contribution that they're making to all of our success as blended families. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about change and transition, and you're definitely going to want to be there for that. But that makes today's episode a wrap.
Until next time.